What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the HNK Video Game Experience. I'm Hollywood Cole, here with Clearfire as always. What's up, Clear?
What's going on, man?
I like our little whispering talks sometimes.
I always gotta whisper when I say hello.
Get the bass turned up.
Hello, Clarice. Sorry, it was just Halloween just passed by, so that's just stuck in my head.
So we started this podcast, Destiny. Not when Destiny 2 came out, right?
Yeah, we started it right before Destiny 2 came out, and we were giving our first opinions on it before it like hit the street and everything. And we had all this great hype, great excitement, and then Destiny 2 lays a big fat turd.
Yep, and we let it be known. And all the stuff that we said was going to happen essentially happened, right?
Basically, it has come true. It's come full circle. It's pretty bad here. So,
all of the potential problems that could happen by everybody doing what they were doing happened. And here we are. Here we are. The people have spoken, and we will
finally
get into it.
We took will them get long into enough.
It did. They spoke loudly.
Oh, yeah. They spoke real loud.
So Destiny 2 is what we're going to talk about. All the drama with Destiny 2 and Bungie laying off their people and blah, blah, blah. You've heard it, probably seen it, unless you've been living in a cave somewhere. But if you're a video gamer, you have seen the news, and we're going to talk about it, break it down a little bit. So we have a guest here with us as well, the Destiny 2 All-Star player, Mr. Swinging Thunder. What's up, Swinging?
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. I don't know about all-star player, but I appreciate it and I'll take that, I guess.
Well, you are the brave soldier that's still soldiering on in that hot pile of garbage that is Destiny 2.
Yes and no, and I think we'll get into that. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Of the three of us, I definitely probably have the most playing time in the last 2 years or so, for sure.
Yeah, so we did a Destiny 2 Revisited here a while back. And got back into it. I got back into it to some degree. I don't play near as much as we used to when me and Clear were playing, which are some of the golden years of Destiny 1, which is really good after taking King and so on and so forth. Is that what it was, taking King?
Yep. Yeah. Taken King was the one that basically made Destiny just
everything
explode in popularity. It just went off the chain there. It's pretty much the absolute best Destiny expansion out of all the expansions up through Lightfall. And yes. I mean, it made Destiny the game to play. It really did.
Yeah, they fixed everything this time. They always said they were going to do it. They shaved. So first of all, Destiny. Okay, let's back this thing up here. We're kind of doing this on a whim here, but we're going to back this thing up. Destiny 1 comes out. Nobody knows what to expect. 10-year plan. That's what we got, 2014. All right, so we don't know what to expect. We know that Bungie did Halo. We're all excited. Destiny 1 comes out, and man, I remember the very first line, "You've been dead for a long time. Everything you see might be strange to you," or something along that. Man, this is going to be sick. A whole bunch of drama with the story went down because the story was garbage. It was so convoluted. Nobody knew what was going on. It was obviously busted. We actually did me and Clear were talking about it several times. We actually did a several fan versus hater on Destiny. We did Destiny 2 sucks, Destiny 2 podcast, and the Destiny 2 sucks podcast. Did you know the microtransactions? I mean, we've gone on and on and on. We've been doing this for 7 years or something like 6 years, Clear. 6 years we've been doing this. And so here comes, so they obviously stripped out some DLC. Some of the content resold it as DLC. The first two expansions were already there. We learned that. And then the Taken King comes out, like we said, fixed everything and made it a great game. So, hey, they learned from their mistake, a rough start, but we're there now. And the more expansions came out, and they were okay. They weren't bad at all.
Rise of Iron was a great one.
Yeah.
That and was then a Destiny, lot of fun.
Destiny 2 came out, and you can go back and listen to the podcast. I believe it was the one Destiny 2 podcast I said. It seems like they took them about a year after they made Destiny 1, they made Destiny 2, and just didn't implement any of the stuff they've learned. And it turns out that's what happened. And so where everybody's went, what is going on over there at Bungie? Oh, it's Activision. It's the evil Activision people. Well, it wasn't. It was Bungie the whole time. And we talked about that in the truth about Bungie. where we have to some insider information, not from us, but from a, we're a third party source that basically just reading books and from a reporter that went in there and got the insider information. So we can kind of tell that Bungie's kind of being shady with their money grabs and stuff's not working, except for their microtransactions are working fine all the time, which, you know, they're promising the world and it never happens. And we keep saying, guys, listen, if you keep buying and paying money for this, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. We're losing faith in Bungie. We're losing faith in Bungie and you're losing trust. Nobody cared. They kept buying it, tweeting about it, whatever. If you heard my last rant on Smooth Ramblings, but, and so here we are, and Clear, you can stop me. I'm not going to go deep into it. I'm sure you have the most information, but I'm just going to make the statement. Okay. Here we are, Destiny 2. They, you know, have with the gun. For Destiny 2 comes out, not good. It, you know, obviously, like I said, took a year of development after Destiny 1. They didn't implement anything new. They just wanted you to buy it. It's like they're on a complete money grab. All right, and then the next expansion, this will fix it. Next expansion, this will fix it. They finally did kind of fix it. Witch Queen comes out. Really good. And so everybody goes, cool, we're good. Then the next one came out. Was that Lightfall? Or what was the latest? Lightfall was the latest.
Lightfall's the newest one.
Lightfall.
Yeah, and not so good, but overpriced for. We paid more for this one than we did for Witch Queen, right?
Yeah. Way more expensive.
And so now, per the projections, 45% no sales, okay?
45% decrease in projected sales. That's a
huge.
massive issue.
So, what happened, Clear? Tell us what's going down.
So, basically, earlier into October, they kind of started to have rumblings inside of Destiny, and this is what I've gotten just from all the news reports and whatnot, that something big's fixing to come. And, you know, of course, you know that Sony has bought Destiny or Bungie already at this time, and to Sony's credit, they had absolutely nothing to do with what's happened so far. They are completely hands off. This is all Bungie leadership, everything. And in my opinion, I think a lot of the moves are basically to make themselves, I guess, give Sony what's left, you know, and kind of think it, because it's just kind of crazy how some of the stuff has come out about what the Bungie leadership has done. So basically, back into the story, they start getting inklings of this, and just, you know, the employees have been saying for months on end, actually probably longer than that, there's lots of things we need to fix, guys, and the higher-ups are not listening to them, ignoring them, and of course it is. I mean, it really is, and it finally came to a head with Lightfall and the 45% decrease in projected sales. Basically, you know, people forecast how much they're going to sell. Pre-orders, you know, helps with those projections. And it was 45% less than what they expected. So that means a lot of money's gone. That means their revenue is just basically the bottom of the barrel crap, you know. And so Bungie's like, well, you know, we can't pay everybody. We don't have enough money to. And so they started laying people off. The problem is some of the people who they lay off.
So before you get to the people.
Well, hang on. I want to say one other thing before I jump into the people, too. The one thing that I think that really kind of set me off and set me kind of a red flag up is, so Bungie used to do these fantastic, like, hype events, you know, hyping up the new pre-release and everything. I'd watch all of them because it was always so good, always well done. And their community manager, Deej, was fantastic. Like, I like the guy. I think he did a great job of managing their community and managing these events and whatnot. But Deej, for some reason, what I think 2 years ago, left, just flat out left. And just said, you know, guys, hey, I got a great new opportunity. I'm out. And it left it at that. And it was really kind of quiet about that. And that's really weird because of how great Deej was doing. So that kind of gave me a red flag of what's going on. And of course, Sony buys Bungie. Usually when a company is really successful, like Bungie, they don't need somebody to buy them. Well, with those two things happening, I get my wheels turning back a while ago thinking, Bungie's not doing as good as they say they are. And then this hits at Lightfall. So big red flags. So before we get into the people who got fired, go ahead, Hollywood.
So, yeah, Lightfall, they lost all the trust, right? And so this is exactly what we're talking about when it comes to pre-ordering games, right? And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but guess what they're doing now? Oh, we're going to delay. Because now they got to make a good game. Because this is what their department development, their studio depends on, a good game now. Because if they had all the pre-orders, they would leave it as it is. But now they don't. Right, that's why you don't pre-order games.
Well, it's not that they don't have all the pre-orders. It's when Lightfall hits, and this comes out like after this news, like just during this week, the pre-orders have completely tanked on the Final Shape. People have canceled their pre-orders left and right. Bungie is bleeding money right now. It is bad. Yeah.
So they not only, that's what I'm saying. So they not only did they not pre-order to begin with, that's why they were 45% down. Now they're starting to cancel, so we're in bad shape. But before I get too far off topic, do you know how much money? You're a little bit lagging, I think, swinging. I can't hear you too good. It's doing this old school thing. But do you know how much money Sony gave to Bungie?
Almost 4 billion. It was in the billions, I think, and it was to cover. It was to cover employee salaries only.
It was like 1.2 billion. What I heard, 1.2 billion for employee retention that was spent. This was before. Because we're talking about in October. Clear.
That's it's already spent. It was already spent.
It was spent buying up employee stock, and But buying up employee stocks. Now, nobody seemed to be too concerned with that. To me, that's concerning. Like, why are you buying up employee stocks? Because you want the chairman, as we always say, to have fatter pockets. Now, I'm not going to get into it. I know there's a lot of evil, rich people ideologies going on now, and I'm sure there are. So I'm not saying that happening at Bungie. But it's a different world with the CEOs than it is with the actual workers. So I'm not going to say that that's an evil move per se, but that's what it was used for. It was not used for what it was supposed to be used for. Employee retention.
I'm sorry. That was a dirty move. It was a dirty move. And that is, I'm sorry, but that really is an evil move. That's with intentions, because they are straight up trying to make the company look different than what it really is. Doing that, buying the stocks, because the employees, if they left, they're just gonna like lose them. I mean, like, it was bad. Like, they even said that the employee benefits, that the minute they leave, like day one, like they are gone. You know, usually you get, you know, some type of buffer time, but a lot of these employees were getting like one day of basically buffer time for their benefits. It's insane what Bungie's done to these people. And the level of people that got fired is crazy.
So real quick with all that, first thing is, yeah, it's the shadiness behind it that really bothers me. So going back to what we were talking about, Cobra. So they had a day before they had to go on Cobra for health insurance and stuff. Stocks, some of them.
Yeah, I was just gonna say bad.
I'm sure it doesn't sound bad to you guys are listening, but it was bad breaking up.
It was rough.
And it finally just quit. He just got kicked.
No, can you guys hear me?
Swinging. Yeah, just leave it like that. Don't even go to the
got it.
Camera.
I have no idea what's going on. No idea.
It sounds fine now.
Okay.
Your Audacity's still running?
Yeah, everything's running.
All right. Just pretend like you didn't say anything.
Okay.
And start over.
All right. So
we could barely hear you.
I'm so sorry. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
So I was going to interrupt and say this, though. It's the shadiness of the entire business practice that really bothers me. I understand business is business and things happen and et cetera, but kind of what Clear was hinting on, they fired them on the 30th. I would believe it was 8% of their entire roster. So you're looking at like 100 plus people that Bungie fired from. And I think Clear's going to go into the different individuals or departments, but it was just the shadiness behind all of it. And what I mean by that is you're going to fire them on the 30th of October. Well, they have one day of normal health and medical insurance because on the 1st of November, they had to go to COBRA. So they lost that. Then it's the fact that some employees at one point, so it was $4 billion at Sony right at $3.8 billion a year ago. And $1.2 billion of that was supposed to go towards employee retention. Part of that being, oh, you're a tenured employee, you're going to get certain stocks and shares and all that. Well, that was dependent on if you got fired or not. So those guys lost their stocks. Hey, you're no longer needed. Thank you. I can't think of his name. I apologize. But the composer who's done all the Destiny music for the last 10-plus years was also like the co-composer for all the Halo stuff. He's been with Bungie for 21 years, and he's gone. And it's really just the way it all went down with Sony a year ago. Here's your $3.8 to $4 billion. $1.2 of this is going to be for employee retention. There will not be layoffs. And like you guys were saying prior, this wasn't a Sony thing. This is a Bungie thing. And once again, it really just kind of, I don't know. I mean, all three of us are a little bit older now. You know, we've been dealing with the civilian world or the, you know, capitalism, et cetera, et cetera. Things happen, unfortunately. I think it's just a matter of how things were handled here that is really upsetting so many people when it comes to all of this. And that's just my personal take on that.
So I don't know what happens when they get fired in Cobra. Obviously, somebody's paying for that insurance, and
Absolutely not. I will tell you about that Cobra. Cobra does not work that way. You pay it at you get to keep your insurance and stay on the employee plan, but you have to pay 100% of it out of your own pocket at that point. I know this because I've been on Cobra because of being let go at UMC.
So what's the point?
It's not nice.
So why does it matter if they get laid off or not?
So used to, Cobra was more effective back when insurance wasn't ridiculous like it is now. And so it was more effective because if you stayed on the employee plan, you got some really great deals and benefits. Well, now since insurance has jacked their premiums sky high, Cobra is more painful than anything. And so that's why it hurts, but you get to keep that employee style plan versus you having to go out to the open market to hunt one, which is a pain in the butt, takes a lot of time. Sometimes you have to do health checks and all that to even get the plan. So you get to stay in that.
So they didn't
health
get
check
that?
Plan for that. No, they did get that. Okay. But you've got to think about it. Most of the time when you get laid off, because this was a layoff, but they called it layoff, firing, all the kind of same thing. But the layoffs, usually you get severance for X amount of time.
Right.
They didn't put employee benefits in their severance package, and they fired the people, so they didn't lay them off. It's just those semantics that's just a bunch of BS. And so that means your benefits end at the month end because of getting fired. Then you can go to Cobra if you so choose to continue your insurance, so you don't have to go hunt.
But
one.
Now you're paying $700 out of
pocket.
That's
what's going on there.
Versus paying $150.
So if you're lucky,
instead of paying the $150 that you maybe were getting taken out of your check, if you're lucky on that side too.
So there's like
$1,500 a month was my Cobra when I had.
So
to
there's
go
just like two trains of thought here,
son,
with the
it's
Bungie
insane.
Thing. Like either. You know, and I don't know which one it is, right? I think I do. They're either like, hey, we don't want to pay for all those benefits, so we're going to fire them and do that kind of thing so we can have to pay them less because we want to make more money, or because we can't afford to lose any more money. That could be how bad they're hurting, is that, hey, we need every, you know, this is going to cost us, I don't know, 8%, 100 employees. This is going to cost us $12 million for the next 6 months if we do these things, or we can keep, we have to keep it. We have to keep it going to pay what we, where can we cut every cent in order to keep this company going? That maybe how bad they're hurting, man.
Well,
I don't
know.
It's crazy.
So this is where it gets crazy, is all the stuff that's come in from employees that have been laid off from them. One, about 2 months or so ago, employees asked, because they started getting nervous because they saw some weird things happening with management, hey, are layoffs on the table now? No. Yeah, they got flat out no from the management all the time from Bungie. No, we're not going to fire anybody. Not going to lay off anybody. And then right there at the beginning of October, they're like, okay, well, we got to start looking at everything. So it's like, what happened in that short amount of time? And then two, going back to what Swingin was talking about, the shares in stock, they were unvested shares.
Correct.
So basically, you haven't served a certain amount of time to become vested in the company. So you get these shares, and you gain shares each month. That's kind of like one of your things for retirement. But you have to work for a certain amount of time before they become vested. And once they're vested, they're yours. You keep them. It's great. Well, this was all because of the Sony purchase that they now have these unvested shares. And you had to stay with the company for so long. And if you either got fired or left, you lose it. Well, they just lost that and they got all those shares back. It's a dirty way to increase the value of the company without having to do anything to actually increase the value of the company, because now all those shares come back to Sony and Bungie, which it more hits to Bungie. And now Bungie looks a little more valuable because they've got these shares.
Well,
they've got more of their own stock than control of their company.
The shadiness.
The company's going to maintain the same value regardless of who owns the shares. If there's a million
but it allows them to now take those shares and sell them and make more money off of them than just giving them to the employees. So, yes, it does increase value because they're going to turn around and sell the shares to somebody else because now they have shares available to sell.
The other thing that's crazy, though, is like some of the people who were left let go were finding out on Twitter that there was layoffs going on that day. So, like, okay, you know, I'm on top of my stuff. I gather you two up as part of my department. Hey, we got to let half the guys go. Other departments hadn't even gotten around to that yet, and those layoffs are being notified on Twitter. So people are now freaking out in the company. And there's a lot of other stuff that's upset some of the former employees or current employees because they just spent like $12 million to build some brand new facility headquarters. And I might be way underestimating the price of that building or whatever, but they just built a brand new headquarters.
I think it was $120 million.
Okay, I knew there's a one and a two in there somewhere.
And then too, this is what's really bad. Management said other levers were looked at to avoid layoffs. When employees asked if one lever was executive compensation, they were told no, and that it would not happen at the company. So basically, they're saying that executive compensation, bonuses, all of that stuff for the C-level people weren't even considered in the cuts.
Yeah, but so you
that
know
shows
why,
you
though.
Right there. So they can keep the money.
No, they'd already given up bonuses beforehand. That was the second part of that. They gave up bonuses like 3 months ahead of time.
I saw that too.
To try to keep the company
afloat.
But
they didn't say how much those bonuses would have been or how much it saved them.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know how much. You don't know how much. But they did give up. So when you start with bonuses and stuff, it starts to get ugly. Like you're getting a bonus while these other people are going hungry. It's hard to even justify that. But that part is not in there. They did give up some bonuses, supposedly. What does that mean? How much? I have no idea. But that was their justification for saying that. Oh, well, no, we weren't considering that because we already did that.
So, well, oh my gosh, another one, because this just eats me alive, is, you know, so the CEO of the company, I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head, he has a town hall after all these people have been laid off, and he says, "We just want to let you know we kept all the best people for Bungie." How in the world did you keep the best people for Bungie when you fired your community manager? That, yes, he wasn't as good as Steve, but he was doing a good job to keep your name good and fighting for you for when you're doing all these stupid things that the gamers hate. And then, two, you fire your not just one composer, but two composers that have written the best music in Destiny that everybody actually has been clamoring for to be put back into Destiny 2. They're not clamoring for all these old raids from Destiny 1 to be put back in. They're clamoring for that music because some of that music was just amazing. It set the tone, and they haven't had the same thing since.
They've already composed all the stuff for the final shape, so they didn't need them anymore. Bye-bye.
Exactly. And I think that's dirty. It's so dirty to do that.
21 years, man. That's longer than I served to retire from the military that he was with that company. That's mind-blowing to me.
This is not the same guy that got fired in Destiny 1? That won that big court case?
No, it's a different one.
Okay, so...
Because this is a composer we're talking about, the one that was He actually was a story writer that did that. No,
there was a story writer, but then also the music guy too got fired. And he,
I don't remember
he
that
sued
part,
him.
But
yeah,
I mean, remember the I remember the story writer. None of the music. The story guy sued him. I don't remember the music.
The music guy sued him and won everything he asked for. I have to look that up, but I thought his name was like Marty something.
That does sound familiar.
But anyway, yeah. So, and I don't, you know, I'm not a big time business, you know, guy. I mean, I'm not going to get into all this, my little side of the story, but my, you know, my wife's company, massive company, got bought out by a big time investor, majority shareholder, just a basically venture capitalist, and fired like 40% of the people. And then he literally, next thing out of his mouth is, I don't know why everybody's not, doesn't feel safe about their job, after he already said nobody's going to be laid off, and then 40% of the people are laid off 2 months later, and then goes, I don't know why nobody trusts me. Are you, I mean, what are you doing? You should not have money. You have, you're, no. You, I don't know how, I guess having money doesn't make you a good leader or what, anything. I mean, how do you not know this is a, to be a situation? And it seems like that's this the case with Bungie, too.
Well, and to make the whole Bungie thing even worse, it wasn't a 21-year tenure there. It was a 24-year tenure there. So he's almost 1 year from having 25 years there. And it's Michael Salvatore is the composer. And he has wiped Bungie from his personal website. It's there's not a single thing of Bungie on his personal website. That was literally wiped the day after all of it came out. And it's just insane. I mean, he's considered, like, a lot of people consider him the greatest composer in modern, like, one of the greatest composers in modern gaming history. And he really is. He's made some amazing music for Destiny, for Halo, and all of that.
Let me just throw this out real quick. Let's just say, what's his name? Salvatore?
Michael Salvatore.
So let's just say they say, Michael, you're an excellent composer. And I don't know this is what happened, but I'm going to skip on it. I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate a little bit. Say, Mr. Salvatore, your music's excellent. We want to keep you around for marathon or whatever and keep you going. But we honestly, the company's hurting and we can't afford to pay you $2 million a year. What can you afford to pay me? I can afford to pay you like 1.2. And he goes, nope, I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to figure some other way out. And I go, look, we can't do it. We're going to go underwater to keep you here. So we're going to have to let you go until you, you know, and then have to let the guy go. And then he's like, oh, they fired me, which is true. But maybe they gave him another option. I don't know. You know, maybe they didn't. Maybe they said, hey, you suck, you're out, which is kind of hard for me to believe. I think most likely is he wouldn't take – I don't know that for a fact, but I'm sure they're paying the man a lot of money if he's been there for 20-something years and he's that good, which he is. And he could probably just go somewhere else and get a job just as easy with another video game company. Any composer, man, these guys are brilliant. That's really good at that.
Yeah, I mean, he's super brilliant. He, like I said, the other composer, too, because there's two composers that I know of that got fired. I can't remember the other one's name, but he's basically kind of like dude's sidekick in essence. But, you know, basically, this is another piece or whatever from some of the stuff I have seen. I've posted it in our little group chat that we have when we set up our podcast. Basically, like 2 weeks ago when this was 2 weeks ago from like the 30th or 31st of last week, they were told that they were going to miss their revenue targets by 45%, which is insane. This is crazy to be that. But they were like rallying the masses in essence, saying, hey, guys, employees, we've got to work hard to clean things up so we can get back on track and save the company. And then all of a sudden the layoffs come. Excuse me. And the employees are saying, this is a complete surprise to us. It wasn't even really mentioned is layoffs coming after that, even after that 45% missed revenue. I mean,
an interesting thing though is, so going back to actually playing the game, I think I'm the only one. I think Hollywood played I don't know about for you, Claire. I haven't seen you on. I know me and Hollywood played a while back. I personally just have been on a video game break. I really haven't played much for the last 2 or 3 months, but Hollywood's met him before. I have a friend of mine that I've known since D1, 2014. And I try to jump on at least once a week with him just to shoot the you-know-what and have a good time, maybe play for an hour.
Jonas,
it's more social. Yeah, it's Jonas. Shout out to Jonas. But so about 2 months ago, like I said, I was just in this, I just get in these moods. I switch things that I'm interested in. So it'll be a book series and then back to games, or a TV series back to the games. So about 3 weeks ago, I tried to play and they were just having connectivity issues, which does happen with their servers or their internet code. And it does happen from time to time. And so it was just kind of funny. I tried to play and I couldn't play. Okay, cool. Didn't play for 3 weeks. And then Jonas hit me up last night. He's like, "Hey man, you at least just get on so we can talk, and you know, let's maybe try to play." Well, ever since this all happened, this news came out, they have been DDoSed for the last week. You will get either, it's called like a concurrent or a coconut error. For those who don't play Destiny 2, which I would assume if you're listening to this podcast, you're at least interested. Bungie has some really weird error codes that they come up with. But those are the two that keep coming up. You cannot connect. So me and Jonas sat on the headset and just BS for an hour. We might as well just got on the phone, but we were on the headset for an hour on the PS5 and tried to connect every, like, well, I would say I tried to connect for like the first 20 minutes and I didn't even want to play. I just got on the play with him just to talk and we just wound up talking. But what I'm saying is I'm not justifying or advocating for the way it's being handled, but the community's already attacking them. Like, they're being DDoSed. Then on top of that, the canceling of the pre-orders. So I want to say that you can look it up. There's a way to track all that, but like, their numbers haven't been good for a while for like concurrent users on at any given time. I want to say it dropped to a third of what it was prior to the news, you know, now versus a week or plus ago when before the news dropped, they were down to a third of what they were already down to begin with. And I want to say, just based off of my understanding, at least 50% of their pre-orders have been canceled, asking for refunds back. So, I mean, it's so funny. I think I saw Clear post this in our little group thing, but, you know, there's always been jokes about the Destiny killer. Well, the Destiny killer was Bungie. It just took almost 10 years to do their futuristic 10-year vision to kill themselves right near the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, that's a kind of a thing that I've seen a couple of times pop up on a couple of these articles that I have, you know, because me and Hollywood always talked about, oh, well, here's Anthem. It's the new Bungie. It's the next Destiny killer. Here's the next Destiny killer. Here's the next Destiny killer. When the whole time it was Bungie. Bungie's the Destiny killer. They're killing it right now. It's fixing to be so bad because nobody's going to want to put any trust in them. I mean, heck, I don't want to put any trust in them. As much as I wanted to play Lightfall, I was like, you're wanting me to pay like more than I've paid for the game. You've gone to this seasonal model to basically suck money as much as you can. And it's just, no, you've gone to dirty business practices. And it's just, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I could go on and on about the different random things there, but it's just, oh.
For those who have held on this long, I believe, I've been in and out for various reasons. I play it for a little bit, I don't play it, or whatever the case may be. But for your hardcore players who've been around since 2014 or whenever they jumped on the Destiny train, I believe the people who are still left, the hardcore people who are still playing, and going back to our boy Jonas there, Hollywood, bro, it's just like it's like a bad relationship where neither partner knows how to. They're too scared to change. They put too much time into a toxic relationship. And neither person is brave enough to step away, is what it feels like for the ones who've stayed around. Because, like, yeah, I was talking to Jonas about it last night when we were talking, and he was like, "Man, you know, Thunder, are you going to play, man?" I was like, "Bro, I will jump on with you an hour, a week, just for you, me to, you know, catch up, and I'll help you with whatever you need help with." But I was like, "Dude, I'm done. I don't have a desire to play." But I have no problem. I mean, that game versus any other game, I have no problem jumping on and doing a couple of strikes or whatever with you. Sure, man, I'll do that. Just to mainly just, you know, catch up, socialize, whatever. But I was like, not that this wasn't the final straw per se. I was just like, I was already kind of not wanting to play to begin with. This is just a reason for me to be able to finally kind of step away clean for me.
Let me ask you this. What is an event card?
That's a random question.
What is an event card? I'm going to get
a money draw.
An event card.
It's a more.
It's so what they do is they'll every season they'll also do a free seasonal thing. You know, like right now it's called. I think it'll end tomorrow. It's called Festival of the Lights. It's like the Halloween one. Then they do one called the Dawning for Christmas. And then, like, I think they just call it, like, the solstice event for the summer. But it's quote-unquote free content. So even if you don't have a game pass or the season pass or whatever, it is still available to you. But it's stuff like the right now, the Festival of the Lights, there'll be, like, a three-person go kill X amount of things. And then they just do a theme on the season. Like, right now, if you were to play, it's a bunch of jack-o'-lantern heads on, like, various enemies that you've played with before. And the event card is like, if you have the game pass, it'll open up certain things, or the season pass, I should say. Or you can pay real world money to open up the it's all cosmetics. At the end of the day, it's basically a triumph, which is a little badge. There's your Girl Scout cookie badge on your little sash to show that you beat the triumph for this season or this event or whatever. Here's a cool little jack-o'-lantern or whatever Halloween themed, you know, cosmetic that they might have. With that's all it is. That's all an event card is. Let's be honest. I mean, Destiny is nothing but a checklist.
So
it's, you know, people still play because of FOMO, but it's
so, yeah. And so the event card is unlocked.
Destiny's nothing but a job.
It opens up more stuff to buy, more stuff to do if you pay for the event card. Is that what it is?
So, when you're playing it, you get, you know how, like, if you do, like, so many kills, you can get this thing, or mm-hmm. do so many of this event, you can get this thing. Well, it's kind of like a multiplier that you get for it, or, like, a special path. Okay. You know, like, you get here's the normal path that'll take you forever to get anything, and here's the speeds it up a little bit. And so you get a little extra out of it. Doesn't really speed it up or anything, because some of the event cards that I've gotten, it was just like, well, it's not going to help me any. And I'm a very, 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 very random casual player of Destiny at this point.
The reason I bring that up is because this is what kind of sucks too. And I feel bad for these people at Bungie, the developers. The developers have been saying this is just like you were saying, Clear, to, you know, leadership or whatever, what's going on? CEOs, are we, you know, how are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. And the developers are like, we need to get rid of some of these microtransactions. The developers are saying this. They know they want to make a good game, and they keep getting the
same
pushback.
Some of the employees were saying that.
That's what I'm saying. They keep getting pushback saying, well, we have to do that in order to maintain the company and this kind of stuff, which may be true, but you've created a company around that. And then these guys and they're talking about the event cards. They're just like, believe it or not, people pay for event cards. Even Bungie's shocked by it. but the people, those sell, apparently. People buy them all the time. So they're making money on this little thing. That's what's so funny about it. They were shocked by the event card, and I couldn't remember what that was. But, you know, that's kind of the crux. It's just kind of your game. This is a new frontier to some degree. This is a games as a service. And, you know, Rockstar's been doing it with GTA 5 over three consoles, maybe four, I don't know, three consoles. And they've been doing all right. But then you got Bungie come around, and they've just, like, money grab, I guess. I mean, whatever, they suck at doing it. And the developers are saying, stop. But they've gotten so ingrained in this, now we have to appease the higher-ups so they can make their money, because when these investors put money in, they want to see returns immediately. They don't care about a good game and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, not like the developer does. Developer Bungie, the actual people programming. Yeah.
This is my most favorite quote about the developer, which is Bungie per se for this one. And they said, we want to acknowledge the feedback and concerns you have about Lightfall and recent seasons, which they've had. Gamers have had concerns about everything since Destiny 2. And even in Destiny 1, they did. It's always like that. And then they say, as well as your responses to the reveal of the final shape, we know we have lost a lot of your trust. You've lost all of our trust, not just a lot, all of our trust at this point. Destiny needs to surprise and delight. We haven't done this enough, and that's going to change. You haven't done it at all in Destiny 2. And then, hold on, let me finish the thing. It says, to us, the path forward is clear. We need to make the final shape an unforgettable Destiny experience. We want to build something that will be regarded alongside the best games we've ever made, a fitting culmination that honors the journey we've been on together for the past 10 years. Forsaken, the Witch Queen, the Taken King, these are the standard bearers we aim to live up to. You ain't going to live up to either one of those, especially not the Taken King. Well, that's all I wanted to say there, because I'm just, it's just, it, I just read all of this. We call it, so me and a buddy that used to work together at my previous place of employment that I got laid off from, we used to call that kind of stuff sunshine pumping. And y'all probably get the reference there, is because they're going to pump sunshine up our, to try to make us think that everything's great. And that's what Bungie's doing.
Well, the
doing
thing that's interesting
point.
Is this. So I, that's once again, I've been playing Destiny 1 and 2 on and off, you know, 2 years here, 2 years on, off, whatever. I don't remember when. I want to say it was before Shadowkeep. So you're talking like 3+ years ago. But they were delayed on that expansion, I want to say 3 to 4 months. So the season that they did prior to wound up lasting like half a year, because they were 3 months behind when it expanded. This one's going to be 8 months. Final Shape was supposed to drop in February. They're saying June at the absolute earliest. And because that's not to say they're not going to try something before then, but it's almost kind of too late in development to even come up with something. So hypothetically, the new season's going to start in like 2 or 3 weeks, I think. I think it's around Thanksgiving. I could be wrong. And at the end of this month, roundabout, is when the next season is supposed to start. And that season was supposed to last like end of November to end of February, when Final Shape was supposed to drop, the typical 3 month season. So you're going to have a 6, 7, 8 month season with no new content. And then even your hardcore Destiny players who have FOMO, like, let's be real. It's either A, they look at it as a full-time job, as Clear mentioned before, or it's the fear of missing out. I've got to play Destiny. I've got to get this seasonal stuff. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And Hollywood, going back to our boy Jonas. Jonas plays that game almost every single day. That is his way. That's his way of unwinding. He has no, just for the people who don't know Jonas, I mean, he's a single guy, right? So no, it's not like he's ignoring his wife or his kids or whatever to play Destiny every single day. But I say that to say this. That's his way to unwind. He works out after he works, and then he plays that game for 30 minutes to 2 hours to unwind like 6 out of 7 days a week. He hasn't touched the game until the other, well, he tried to the other night. That was the first time he's logged on since the news dropped. And even he was telling me, he's like, I have nothing left to do on the game. Like, I have nothing. So you're talking about a guy who plays the game, not a lot, but he does touch it every day. What is he going to do for the 8, 9 months? And what about every other player who falls in the same category as Jonas? I mean, even the people who have dedicated themselves to play this and that, like I said, that quote-unquote, I'm joking, but not toxic relationship for 9.5 years. As a gamer, you don't have anything new to do in a game that you play all the time. I think at some point, even the hardcore players are drop away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so looking at that, it's, first of all, most of these players finish all the seasonal content in the first
few weeks.
What, 48 yeah, hours to like, week or two, like insane. And so you got like almost full 3 months anyway, so they burn through all the content that quickly. Bungie hasn't done a nice release that people haven't burned through the entire content that's supposed to last at least a month. It burned through it in a week, so they already have a problem there. They've had a problem like that for years. Because they've just done that, and they think that still works. They see that it hasn't worked. They have employees saying it doesn't work. What do they do? Ignore it and just say, we're going to keep on doing what we want to do because people are paying for it. Because people are paying for it. And now that the people aren't paying for it, they're like, oh, God, what do we do? Let's fire everybody.
Well, that's the thing. Your hardcore players are going to do the thing. I've done this. I'm just going to buy the, like, if I were to buy Final Shape, you go on there and it's like, okay, here's $50 for the entire expansion, or pay $70 and get the whole season pass for the whole year after the expansion drops on top of the expansion. So I'm not to say they don't get money every day or whatever from people buying microtransactions or maybe deciding to buy an expansion out of the blue, but I'd say probably 80% of their income comes at the end during that pre-order initial release of that expansion. But what I guess I'm trying to say is your hardcore dedicated Destiny 2 players, the ones who have stuck with them through thick and thin, good and bad, whatever, I'm not saying you're going to lose 50% of them. I'm not saying you're going to lose 30% of them, but I think you're going to lose some of them. Even the ones who have stuck around for 9 years, I think you're going to lose more than they expect because they have nothing new to do between today And sometime in June, hypothetically, best case scenario.
You have major content creators like Bife that is like, I'm done. You know, these people like that.
I didn't know he said that.
Oh,
wow.
He is not happy. He is not released.
I bet he's not.
I don't think he's released anything that says I'm done, but you can tell it in what he says and what he's posted. It's like they basically have shafted me, because now instead of 3 or so months where he doesn't have a lot of room to make a lot of content, now it's
he's stretching things. Yeah.
And that's his job, because that's what he makes his livelihood on. And they just pulled it out from under him just because. And it's hitting him. It's hitting all of these content creators. They're the ones that are suffering too, because in essence, they're a non-paid employee of Bungie at the end of the day, because that's what they're promoting. That's when 90% of what they play and what they put up is Bungie and Destiny, it's going to hit them hard. It's hitting them hard. I'm going to go off on a tangent rant here.
I feel for them, but I don't feel for them, because no offense.
I don't feel as much for them, but I do, just because it's still a part of that whole ecosystem.
Let's back this up a little bit, Clear. That's what we were talking about when we went back to the beginning of our podcast days with Destiny. You were a hardcore Destiny 1 player. We both played it for the first couple of years or whatever, first year. Destiny 2 came out. And you wanted it to be good, all right? I mean, and I get
so
it. I did too.
To be good.
And they kept releasing these expansions. Again, I'm not going to rehash what we talked about at the beginning, but the expansions, they kind of did it the shady way at the beginning. So everybody kind of knew, like, something's up. And I remember we had the fan versus hater. We had all these things talking about, like, this is not going to last. And you would get me and when we talk about it, it's a running joke on the podcast that Clear is always going to bring Destiny up. You know, because he always, that was like, you're really into the game. And then another kind of running joke that's a little bit more subtle, but if you listen, you would hear it every time you would bring up I'd say, hey, this is wrong with the game. And then you would say something like, okay, the new expansion, blah, 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 blah. And I said, what? It's going to fix it. Remember, it was always like the new expansion. They'd always say, oh, we owe you more than this. We got to do the exact thing they're saying for this new thing that they're going to put out, Final Shape. Right. So there's no trust there. And so were the previous expansions all the way back to the beginning, were they a success or failure? They were all successes initially, because they put out some garbage dookie expansion that takes 2 hours to complete and everybody kept paying for it. So this is that conundrum in business, to where, hey, I can hit a lick right now, but it's not going to last. Like, it's like GameStop stock. That's not a very good viable investment strategy. That's a get lucky and hit a lick. And so they're being successful at that, but they're like the non-tangibles. Are they losing trust now? Right. You got hardcore players, what you guys are saying, they're going to start dropping off. And when they're done, then that's a telltale sign. You've really lost it. And so you have your first little casuals like me. Hold on. You have your first little casuals like me falling off. And then, you know, and so a little bit here, a little bit there. They're going to be fine. I remember Edgy's Thunder. He's going to be fine. They're going to be fine. I remember telling me that. And I was like, that's great, but they're not getting my money, right? I don't care if he's going to be fine or whatever. Or they're going to be fine. I don't mean ill will toward any person, but the business model is not sustainable, right? We've talked about the reasons you don't pre-order games. The reason you don't pre-order games, because it becomes an integrity like conflict here on the developer. Hey, we already made $2 billion on the pre-orders. Stop working on it. Anything else after this, we'll start adding on. Guess what happened? They didn't get it, the pre-orders, they thought, because they've lost trust. It's finally broken. They've lost trust, and now the pre-orders are being canceled. Now they're really struggling. Now they have no choice, right? They have to take the game back. If nobody was pre-ordering any of these things before, why do you think they say, hey, like you said, swinging $70, you get all this? Because you're going to pay for something you don't. Barely not Borderlands, I believe, was one of the first people to do this, where they said, "Hey, pay for the DLC up front first, and then we're, you know, like what? They're going to then we're going to distrust you as a business." You see how they treated their employees, Bungie, you know, and then we're going to post to distrust you with here. Yeah, we trust you. You've let us down for 10 years, but we're going to trust you with these pre-orders, and now it's come to a crux. And now we're seeing what happens. We're seeing what happens if you, this is for any developer, don't pre-order. They're going to be forced to make a better game, just like Bungie's forced to do. And if they keep putting out crap, it's going to fall eventually. The castle's crumbled. The foundation is weak. And this is what we're seeing happen.
Well, when you pre-order, like in this Destiny instance, I'm not saying for other pre-orders, but I mean, it can hold true for those as well. But this one, where they're releasing content after content after content, and you're pre-ordering it, paying for it well in advance, all I got to do is keep on feeding you crap because you've already paid for it. You're going to play it because you've already paid for it, because you're going to feel like you're obligated to play it now because you already paid for it. If you're only paying for it as each season comes out, well, then it makes them have to work a little bit more because they have to do something to bring you back. If you paid for it all in advance, they don't have to do anything to bring you back. You're just going to have that, dadgummit, I paid for it, so let me play it. And you're going to play it and get that old little fuzzy feeling in there. And then you're going to go, they did it to me again. And then what's going to happen? You're going to buy it again and pay that $70 pack and do it all over again.
Somebody at the round table
until you finally put your foot down and say, you ain't doing this to me anymore. Will it make the developers actually make a better game?
Somebody at the round table goes, this game is not that good. You think they're going to be happy with it? Or this DLC, this expansion, it's not that good. Do you think they're going to be happy with it? Well, no, but who cares? They bought all the other ones for the past 9 years.
We already got $2 billion for it, so let's just pump it out and see what happens.
And they've been buying it anyway. So
hold on. And before you jump into on this swing, you actually made a valid point, too, talking about the player event cards. We don't know why they pay for them, but they keep on paying for them, so we're just going to keep on pumping them out.
Yep.
It's an extra $20, but they're going to pay for it. So let's get them to pay the extra $20 on top of the $70 they already paid.
I think the interesting point to make here, it's a double-edged sword. And what I mean by that, and I've joked with Hollywood about this, and I would love for you guys to do a podcast on this kind of stuff. But it's interesting when you see Company X rise up, hit their peak, and then what is the jump the shark moment? When did the company drop off? And I'll give you two examples with two different scenarios. One would be BioWare. Mass Effect, you know, they had Knights of the Old Republic, they did Dragon Age, they did the Mass Effect trilogy, and they're at all-time go at it. And then, you know, they had another game before Mass Effect Andromeda came out. And I say that BioWare's looked at bad now, but it feels like they peaked X amount of years ago. But on the flip side of what you guys are saying, like, you would hope the consumers would wake up. So EA, Electronic Arts, specifically sports, I would say, and I've said this before on a random other podcast, basically, Madden reached its peak 15 years ago on the PS2/ES3 days. There's a YouTube video where I think somebody went through and they counted. There are 88 less features on the most recent edition of Madden than was available on the PS2. But yet, people buy Madden every single year. It makes millions and millions of dollars. No matter how much they've removed from the product, no matter how crappy it is, EA is still making buku money on that every single year, though they have taken so much out of the game. So I don't know what happens with Bungie. But I will say as a consumer, it's been a downward spiral for a while, and this might be the straw that broke. It is for me personally. I can't speak for every single consumer up there. But it will be interesting to see how this plays out, especially in today's world versus... Okay, buy Madden, don't buy Madden. Whatever. That's a you call.
Yeah, because it's football.
Well, I mean, not even that. I'm just saying, like, you know, back in the day when you're talking about actual physical hardware versus now everything being online or pay for service or whatever, it's going to be an interesting thing. You know, and how much of this is just bad business on Bungie's part and how much of this is just bad economics right now? Because Bungie's not the only company that's laying people off. I think Epic, you know, going with another video game company, I think they cut like 12% of their people, and that wound up being like 800 people that Epic just let go recently.
So I get where you're coming from with the economical side of it. I really do, and I understand that. And yes, economics are a little different. People aren't spending like they used to. But we're talking about here where they dropped Lightfall, everybody hated it, and then Bungie laid off people and then made a piss poor reasoning why they laid off people and then said we kept all the great people when flat out they didn't. And then they're going to go, well, we've got the the Shape of Light coming out. And it's good, but it's not great. We're going to pull it back and rework it. And we're going to, instead of dropping it in February, we're going
to
drop it in
June. I'm not trying to make excuses for the hand. I mean,
This is Bungie
really dropping the ball. I'm not.
Poor management altogether.
I was just kind of bringing it up. I wasn't trying to excuse Bungie. I guess what I was trying to say is Bungie dropped the ball. But what I'm saying is I don't know from an economic standpoint how much the industry is being affected when Epic's dropping and cutting and laying off X amount of people. And so,
well, the thing about Epic is Epic has a similar business model.
True.
With Fortnite. So, you know, are people just getting tired of these microtransactions and realizing, like I did? I mean, I'm part of the problem with the cell phone games. At one point I spent a bunch of money and you finally realized, like, what am I spending this for?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Fortnite's had a huge drop in players too in the past 6 months to a year. So, I mean, that you have a drop in player base, then, yeah, you're going to lose money. And especially when your model is the only way I make money is for you to pay for the season, pay for all these cosmetics, drop all this money on here. A lot of the kids that started playing Fortnite are now getting to the age where they have to pay for it themselves. They're no longer under their parents' umbrella. And so that's what Fortnite is experiencing. They're experiencing their players growing up and can't afford to pay for their stuff.
Okay, let me backtrack then. I wasn't trying to make excuses for Bungie. But I guess what I'm trying to say is...
I don't think anybody thinks that.
Just take Destiny out of it right now. I guess the interesting thing for me is and maybe it's just ignorance on my part, I'm wondering what all factors are also coming to play. And what I mean by that is, okay, if the video game industry was booming, if the economy was doing well, and Bungie dropped the ball, okay, Bungie dropped the ball, bad business for you, you're going to suffer for it, but everybody else is doing okay because they're not as dumb as you are. But Bungie making the mistake when the economy's bad, and video game industry is maybe suffering for multitude of reasons, i.e. going back to Epic. Okay, maybe this online pay-for-service stuff just not working for anybody anymore. Maybe it's hit its climax. Maybe it's on the downhill now. You know, maybe you need to understand from a business model standpoint that, you know what, you got a good 5 years. Enjoy it while you can, because you know what? The gamer and the consumer is going to get bored after a certain point. Even as popular as Fortnite is, even as popular as Destiny is, even popular as Call of Duty is, you got a small window. You better take advantage of it because it's going to eventually drop off.
Well, you got to also look at it too like this.
Because this is uncharted territory for us. I mean, really. I mean, you back in the day, the model was with online games, buy Call of Duty every year. You're basically getting a map pack and a new campaign.
Well, I mean, you got to look at it like this. The economy hasn't been great for a little while. And so it's really hard to say, yeah, the economy's the big factor here. If the economy had been great and then all of a sudden gone bad and then they I can give it the economy thing, but the thing is as a business and me working in a private company, you forecast ahead. When you see that you're gonna start having a downturn, you start planning for it. Well, there's been a long downturn in gaming financially and in economically for the past couple of years. After coming out of COVID, people quit spending on gaming and started spending more on other things, you know, because they can get back out and do other things. So the economy's already been on I'm not going to say a downswing, but on a lull for video games. And two, with all the delays in all the video games recently, I mean, Skull and Bones is a prime example of one that's been delayed out several times, and it's ridiculous at this point. You know, Bungie actually had a prime opportunity, if they would have made a good Lightfall, to really capitalize on a lot. But they decided to put the same old out, and they put the same old out, and the players realized, hey, a lot of this stuff is just reskinned crap like they've been doing for the past 5 years. I'm tired of it. And they got tired of it.
You're right.
Finally, thank you for finally speaking up, gamers, because this is how you speak up to a company and make them make changes. Unfortunately, it caused a lot of good people to lose their job, but... it might drive them to do better. I don't think so at this point. If it would have been 5 years ago, then yeah, maybe so. But the like Hollywood just said, they've said every single new DLC, every single new expansion, we make this better. We've listened to y'all, and we really hear you, gamers, and we've made this better. How many times can you pump a sunshine? Can you pump sunshine
every
up there?
Expansion every year,
and still get people to trust you. Well, Bungie has ran past that, and I feel bad for Sony because they bought a company thinking that, oh look, so Bungie's got some great IPs, we can grow with these. Well, bad thing is Bungie hasn't even been thinking about Destiny 3. It's not even on their radar because they're like, how long can we pump Destiny 2 out? So they're kind of stuck there. And then they got this, supposed to have this new game come out, Marathon, that along with Shape of Light getting pushed back to June, they've now pushed the release, or even the halfway thought about release of Marathon, from 2024 to 2025. How much longer is Sony going to take that before they just wipe all the executives there and said, we're going to fix this crap? I hope they step in and fix it quick.
All right, let me put this in here. So, talking about the economy, before we go too far off that, if we hadn't already, but the economy, you know, everybody says that it's kind of bad, but it's the reason they say it's bad because the feds are raising whatever the Fed says. But the spending for Halloween this year was more than any other year ever in the history of America.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's a significant amount more, right? And so let's just think about this. This is just, and I have no idea. And we're all just speculating. We're all just, it's all just conjecture. But it's fun. And that's what we're doing here on the podcast. So let's just think about this. So what else happened this year? Another huge company with Diablo 4, Activision, that just got demolished. I mean, worse than any game ever that I can think of in history. This massive IP that everybody could not wait for went from 100 miles an hour to literally about one.
Negative one.
For the, if you want to take it as a percentage, if you want to take it from a percentage from how many people were playing it at its peak down to what who's playing it now. They're done with Diablo right now, man. They're going to have to go. I don't know what they're going to have to do to get people to come back. But they've lost. You talk about lost trust. There's too many options for one. All right. So that happened. We got Activision. I haven't seen the thing yet. Well, obviously Activision should be with Diablo. But then with the Modern Warfare, I hadn't seen it. I love Modern Warfare 2. I mean, I don't obviously love it. I mean, there's all obviously got problems with it. It's a money grab too. They're starting to do this type of thing. They've been doing it. And then now everybody's complaining about Modern Warfare 3. I don't know what they're complaining about yet. I hadn't seen it. That's why. I'm sure it's. But if it's not good, they're in danger again because the people have stopped dealing with this. You know, when you got Fortnite, I mean, my son plays Fortnite now. So they've got a whole new generation coming up as well. But, you know, the whole microtransaction business model, is it sustainable? This is all new frontiers now. And all these people getting laid off, you don't ever know if they're saying, hey, we're trying something new. And we're going to have to build up a new division or whatever. And so they go, it failed. We're not making the money we thought, you know, and it could be economy. I'm not saying it's bad, but I mean, a lot of the times it seems that it's just a bunch of hype. You know, it's the stock market's been booming for the past couple of days because the Fed didn't raise the rates. And it's, we're thinking it's going to be, that's just, okay. So the company didn't make more money just because the Fed said that, you know, so people buy into it. It's all a commodity. So I better get in before it's all human behavior. Anyway, I'll get off the stocks. But, you know, so they go, you know, people are just tired. You know, you really just determine, is this because that's kind of what Diablo 4 was, right? And always online. You know, what are these other little corners we can do that hinder the video game experience just to provide us more money? You know, it's always online. We know all your habits. You're going to, you know, yeah, all of our microtransactions are just, you know, cosmetic. And that seems to be the way. But then, you know, people are fighting world bosses now solo because they can't find anybody to play because the content's just so mundane. They focus more time on how do we make money elsewhere instead of just making a good game. And, you know, and Fortnite hadn't been, you know, I don't know much about Fortnite. I don't really play it, but, you know, the different than Bungie is when they're putting out a bunch of crappy expansions. I think Fortnite actually puts out decent seasons. I mean, that's their whole model, but it's still a microtransaction online game. And I wonder, I mean, it's a sustainable, but I think they're just getting too greedy, but they're just think they're getting too big and it ain't going any further. Either people are tired of it. Or you just bit off more than you can chew for now.
And the thing that kills me too is like in this announcement, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to drop the season model. We're going to go the episodic model. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, so what you just did is the essence of saying, oh, well, this isn't a cloud server. It's a NAS server, which is the exact same thing, just a different name, because that's what they're doing with this. And some people were like kind of perked up because like, oh, they're going away from the seasonal model. They're going to the episodic model. I'm like, do you not realize that a season model is the same thing as the episodic model, just with a different name? I mean, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
It's like these people that start a job, right? Or that start a business, right? I'm going to start a plumbing business, whatever. And I'm only going to work when I need money. You basically just created yourself a job. And, oh, I did a job the other day. I got paid $2,000 for it. I would never make that kind of money elsewhere. Oh, I need to pay my rent. How much is my rent? $3,000. Okay, for the next job I'm going to do, I'm going to charge $3,000. And I'll get it, and I can pay my rent. Right. They're not really doing a business. They're just creating themselves a job, right? And that's where these microtransaction games and companies like Bungie and Activision are kind of in this season, and it's a long season, but the tortoise always wins the race, not the rabbit, right? We're going to hit a big lick, and we're going to make a bunch of money real quick, and then it's going to fail. You're going to lose the race. Well, who's the tortoise in this whole gaming system here?
The players.
Nintendo, man.
I was going to say the players are.
No, Nintendo. Let's tried and true. Well, yeah, the Nintendo's the tortoise. Yeah. They're going to make it. Hey, we got our own. We're not doing, you know, they're kind of marching to the beat of their own drum with the Switch, and they're always behind in technology, but they're putting out quality content. Mario Wonder just came out. It's a 2D Mario. It's super fun.
This is an easy one for you, all you listeners out there. Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo. Who's been out there the longest and still going?
Nintendo.
Who's the one that? Who's the one that's furthest behind on all the technology? Nintendo. You know what they have that we always talk about on this podcast? Always. Fun factor.
Gameplay?
Fun factor. They make games fun. They make games enjoyable. They don't make them a job. Bungie make Destiny a job.
Good way to put it. They don't make them a job.
I don't come home. I don't come home to work.
Why do they make it a job?
I come home to relax and chill.
They make it.
So I get up and I play Mario.
Why do they make it a job? They make it a job because they know that's going to hook you. You're going to spend more money. And so,
and
so
you're
it's all about
the same thing over and over and over. And what do you do at a job? You do the same thing over and over and over. Well, you know what that is?
It's the
definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and over, thinking a different result.
Okay. Don't get off track because here's the thing. You created it to hook people in to spend more money. Because if they're hooked in, just like you said, swinging, they don't want to be fear of missing out. It's designed to milk you. Now, Nintendo doesn't design it that way. So one of them's a video game company, and one of them is a something else that we don't know what it's called yet. So anyway, what were you saying, swinging? You disagree about something?
Well, no, I wasn't disagreeing. I was just laughing, though, and it's something I've said to you before personally, but the way I see things going, just the way the video game business is getting to, I think we've gotten to the point where we're cutting the middle person out. And what I mean, not us as the middle person, but what I mean is I think you're going to get to the point where it's either going to be a AAA company, quote unquote, whatever we want to define that as today in today's world, or a small indie company. I don't think you're going to have middle-sized companies anymore making games.
You're pretty much at that
now. And
that
goes back to the whole being in Nintendo's favor. And that's what I was going to say. You're pretty much at that now. But like, if things continue to go this way, okay, Sea of Stars, really impressed by the game, really impressed by the video game developer, the company. I think they're called Savage Studios. They've come out with two games, The Messenger, Sea of Stars. I don't know their business model per se or how much money they're making, but we're an indie studio. We're small. We're going to make the most BA game that we can make. No DLC, no whatever. I think they actually did come out with DLC for The Messenger, like way after the fact. But what I guess I'm trying to say is, here's our product. It's the bomb. Go enjoy it. Yeah. Or you're going to have the Epics and the Bungies and this pay-to-service and these microtransactions. And it's so funny because the three of us grew up with the Sega, Nintendo, you know, the SNES, Genesis war, the console wars throughout all that stuff, you know, and we've gotten to the point where everything's cross-platform, So I think the new war is what wins out to the consumer. Is it a quality, small, indie project that is just a fun factor game? Or is it the Epics, the Bungies, the EAs? We're going to make you pay buku bucks for our product and then make you pay a buku amount altogether collectively by making you microtransaction you to death. And what wins out? And I know me and Hollywood have had this talk, and as I've gotten older, if the worst case scenario came and I had to get rid of all my consoles but one, I'm keeping the Switch. I'll get rid of the PS5. I'll get rid of the Xbox. And if I had to keep just one console, it would be
the Switch.
I agree
with you there too. So it's pop quiz time. Hollywood, what game was it that I played all the time when I first got my PS4?
Destiny.
No.
You did play it all the time.
Indie game.
Oh, yeah. Don't Starve.
Played the mess out of the game. So much fun. You know how much I paid for it?
Nothing.
It was a PS Plus game. PS like Plus game. Bucks. It was free. Oh, played the fool out of it and still will jump on it every once in a while now and play it, and still it's just right back to having that fun again. It's a fun factor. It's not a job. I don't feel like I have to do it. You know, and that's what Nintendo's done right. I don't feel like I'm having to play the game to, you know, be good at it. I just go play and enjoy and have fun, and I'm done. Destiny, it's so repetitive, and it became a job, and it burned me out bad, so I quit.
Yeah, understand that.
Well,
and then they kept on putting out crap content and expecting us to pay, and people did, and that's where we're at now.
They finally caught up to them. Because the people that invested in GameStop got $1 million. And they go, see, I'm a great investor. And you go, no, man, you will never do that again in your whole life in 10 lifetimes. Because a quality investment is making decent returns repeatable for a more long period of time, i.e. Nintendo, not hitting a lick, i.e. Activision and Bungie. And that's just what we're seeing. That's just a rule of life right there. That's why the tortoise and the hare, the fables that we all used to learn, when do you hear fables now? Do they still do fables in schools and stuff?
They do it in my son's school. I catch those every once in a while. But that's, I mean, good. So let's take a Nintendo example real quick before we, because I know we're trying to wind up and jump off here, because I think we beat Destiny and Bungie over the head enough. But take Nintendo, for example. They put out great consoles, N64, amazing, and then they put out the GameCube. Now, in hindsight, it was a great console. During its time, it was not. And then the Wii comes out, blows up, back to, you know, amazing. Then they put out the Wii U, terrible console, and now they're at the Switch. They have hit or misses.
Wii U was awesome, though.
But they recovered. No, the Wii was awesome. The Wii U was awesome.
It was awesome.
People like it. You have people like you, but it sold terribly.
It sold terribly because of the marketing. Even us being gamers, I thought, what is this, just a peripheral? What do you call it? Is this just another little? Is this a gamepad for the Wii? I didn't know it.
They didn't know how to market it. And then they turn around and drop the Switch. Because the Switch is, in essence, a Wii U.
Yeah, it's like a combination.
It's better. It's a lot better because everything's in the one thing and not like two different pieces to make the console. But they learned their lesson and fixed and adjusted. They've done that time and time and time and time again. They're going to be around. These people like Activision that's not getting their act together, Bungie that's not getting their act together, going to eventually not be here anymore. And then you have your companies like Sony and Microsoft that are like, well, let me just buy up these whole publishing companies, because right now it's the war of who can buy what publishing company. Because you just had Microsoft buy Bethesda, and you just had Sony buy Bungie. It's like, when are you two companies going to learn? Maybe look at Nintendo and make some adjustments and run like Nintendo. They've been around since even before video games, playing cards, and then adjusted and adapted, and they're still here.
And then they're going to go all digital.
The 1800s is how long Nintendo's been here.
Then they're all going to go digital, Sony and Microsoft, because, hey, we can make more money that way. Nintendo won't. And then what happens to GameStop and every video game store in the country, since you can't sell digital games, they have to only sell Nintendo games. So now every video game store in the country is marketing Nintendo. And they're growing, you know, so you then see what
Nintendo
I'm saying?
Would blow up at that point.
Oh, you get off of our board. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not making money for us next month. So, okay, well, you want to make money 30 years from now? No, I'm maybe you're tired. Okay, well, then that's where you're at. That's why you got my, you know. So anyway, so let's just, we could go on forever, and it's a fun conversation to talk about, and it is just the kind of dynamic of human nature, especially particularly business. When somebody has a lot of money, like Nintendo, they, hey, we can make more money. We need to get involved. How big is the pie for video games? What, it's $102 billion a year. We need a piece of that. They don't care about making video games. They care about getting the money. So, and not to say Nintendo don't care about money. I know they do, but they're
Nintendo
smarter.
Cares about money, but they also care about making quality products.
That's how they make their money.
They make their money not, by making quality.
Not fishing
not by
it
pumping
from
it
you.
Out. They, how many times do you get a Mario every single year?
I don't know.
I mean, think about it. Activision's a prime example.
Rarely.
EA, Activision's prime examples of the model of let me pump out a game every single year of the same type, you know, Modern Warfare 1, 2, 3. I mean, we're back to calling Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3 when we had those back, you know, 20 years ago, you know.
10 years ago.
And WWE 2K23, 2K24, you can't even play the 2K22 anymore. That took it offline. So, I mean, it's just year after year after year putting these out, the football games, same way. Nintendo, what do? I'll drop a Mario every 8 years and everybody will be happy.
Well, listen.
And guess what? They do. And they blow up and they're awesome.
That horse is beat and he is dead. And so
yes.
We can move on to the closing. Until next time. Appreciate you guys listening and swinging. Appreciate you being here, man.
Thanks for
always
having me, guys.
Always a pleasure.
Always.
And check us out, HKEXP.com. Laters.
Take care, everybody.
Later, guys.